Look, I got a testimony. I gotta tell him what God did. I'm calling God the homie. He took me out of the mosh pit. I would contest the phonies. Separate demons and God's kids. I gotta spread his word, so I'ma show you who the God is. The word is my weapon. I move like a general.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Walk With Me. I am your host, JJ. So good to have each and every one of you here with us today. First of all, I'd like to apologize for being a little bit late today for the posting. We had a bit of an emergency, but you know what? God is good. God is always going to work it out. Whatever his will is concerned, he is always going to work it out. Just be patient, and it will come to pass. Thank you all, each and every one of you who is liking and sharing and being a part of this community, this walk with me crowd, this walk with me march, as it is, towards salvation. But that's where we're going. We're trying to make it to heaven, and that should be our main goal. Yes, you should live your life as well as you can, and as fruitful and everything as you can, but our first priority should be where we will spend eternity. So thank each and every one of you for listening and joining and liking and sharing, and thank you for all the donations that you send. I've gotten some privately. Thank you all. Thank you all for just taking a moment to listen to this podcast. You guys can listen to any other podcast. There's so many podcasts and videos going on. And yes, I keep talking about how we are going to go video very soon. That has been pushed back to an unspecified date. It'll probably be, Lord willing, around June or July, we should be able to go live video. So we are talking about... Before we get into that, we have some questions that we will handle on our next episode. And if you have questions or comments or anything like that, feel free to share them with us. walkwithmebiblestudy@gmail.com. walkwithmebiblestudy@gmail.com. If you want your name to be addressed, put your name in the subject line. If your name is not in the subject line, I'm going to assume that you want to be anonymous. Because a lot of people are very private about their walk with God, and to some extent, I think that is correct. You should kind of be private, but if you want me to address you directly with your using your name on the podcast, just put your name in the subject line. Shout out to my sponsors, True Bars Lyricist, helping us out with the sound equipment and the programming. And also, thank you all to Exquisite Creations, Tumblers, and some other stuff she's going to be making very soon. Thank you all. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough. I cannot thank God enough for you. So today, we'll get right into it. Today, we are talking about, remember last week we were talking about Paul. And Paul's origins was actually in Stephen's persecution, which is, if you really look at some of the patterns about how things work, you start seeing like someone will go through something really bad and it will lead to someone else's salvation and someone else's redemption. So, and let me just say this aside, because a lot of us sometimes wonder why God is allowing us to go through some things, why God is allowing close family members to die, why is God allowing certain bad, quote-unquote, bad things to happen? I get this question a lot. Why does God allow bad things to happen? Well, we call them bad. But it may be a plan for someone else to be saved. That person that the, quote-unquote, bad thing could have happened to may have been saved. And this thing that happened could have generated someone else's salvation or led us Spirit of God. See, no man come to God except the Spirit of God draws him. And that's very true. And if we're looking at someone, say for example, I have a co-worker and I'm not living for God, but this other co-worker, where she's a Christian, he's a pastor, or something like that. And every little bad thing that goes on, he's got four-letter words coming out of his mouth. Then he's not really much a good witness. But if I'm looking for God, and I'm looking for a representative of God, because that's what we are ambassadors of God to the world. So if I'm looking for, you know, the right representation of God, because your spirit will tell you, and I see somebody, he's going through things that on his job, or something lands on his foot the wrong way, and, you know, something comes out that I don't expect, like, oh, well, praise the Lord. But what? So that'll get your attention, that'll pique your interest. Sometimes, I've seen this happen to a lot of people, where they start then taking you aside, and they'll start asking you, hey, man, you're different from those other Christians I've run into. Why are you different? And that allows you the opportunity to even set up Bible studies and school little things. So I'm a little off the view here, but remember, Stephen's persecution created Paul's redemption. But today, we're going to talk about Peter. Now, we all know Peter. Peter was that rough and tumble guy who couldn't be told anything, who lost his faith on the water. But all of us, and you know, when Jesus said, you know, my time for being betrayed is at hand, Peter said, no, that's not how this is going to work, and I'm going to take a sword and cut off somebody's ear. This is Peter. This is Peter who, Lord, I'll never deny you, and then denied him three times before the rooster crowed. And this is Peter. And Peter will now, this is also the same Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost, because Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which is another entirely different line of thinking, because you think that somebody can't be saved because of who they are right now, and God has a different plan for them. You might be listening to this podcast thinking you can't be saved because of all the things that you've done, all the roads that you've gone down. But you're listening to this podcast, and I'm telling you now that God can save each and every one of you. God can save me, but it's got to be to our choice. We have to make the choice to want to live in it. So that's just how that is. That's me on the soapbox. Let me get off of that. But remember now, we're going to talk about Peter today. And Peter, even being having the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Peter had a little bit of a racism in him. See, Peter didn't believe that the Gentiles could be saved. So we're going to talk about Peter's conversion from racism into the will of God. Alright, so we're going to start in Acts chapter 10. And this is going to be where Peter starts on his road. So, oh yes, by the way, we talk about scriptures, the rule of here, if this is your first or second time, it's a rule here. If we talk about a scripture, it is very important that you read either the verse above, the verse below, but preferably the whole chapter, because context is key. So, now we're talking about Peter. So, Acts chapter 10, verse 6. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, which is not Simon Peter. We're talking about a different Simon, whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest do. In Acts 11, 13 to 14, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. Remember, this you got Simon the tanner, and you have Simon Peter. Two different people. He shall tell you words whereby thou and all thy house shall be served. Saved. So he's going to preach to you, and that preaching is going to save you, because you are going to adhere to it. All right, so let's go. So now Peter is up on the rooftop, and Peter's having an issue. Acts 10:34-35. Then Peter opens his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but that every nation that feareth him and works with righteousness is accepted with him. Now, how did Peter get there? Peter, remember, there's a lot of extra-biblical studies, which I don't which I don't generally tend to quote a lot, but a lot of them would suggest that Peter firmly believed that when he was stuck in the upper room, and he said to your children, even those that are far off, he was only talking to the Jews. And because the Jews, it was Jews that was there in Acts chapter 2, he was really trying to say that he wanted just to preach to the Jews, and Paul said, no, we're going to preach to the Jews and the Gentiles and everyone else. Everyone else is going to be Christian. And the reason why this is because up to this time, only Jews have been receiving the Holy Ghost. And during this preparation of extra Jewish ministry, God took Peter through some changes. And there was, now, and I'm going to just kind of skim over the, just for the sake of time, skim over the setting here, because Peter now is sitting on the roof, and Peter's praying, and he's sitting on the roof, he's praying, and he's hungry, and then God brings down this blanket with four corners are held up. So think of it like if you ever seen like the old pictures, the cartoon pictures, the hobo with the stick and the handkerchief, and it's tied up. It's tied up just like that. The four corners are up, so you can't see what's in it. So he lays it down, and the first thing Peter sees is for all these animals that traditionally Jews are not supposed to eat. But the voice comes and said, arise, Peter, slay and eat. Peter says, no, no, my Lord. So right there, you know, Peter knows he's talking to God. So, oh, no, no, my Lord. No kind of unclean meat have ever touched these lips, and never shall it happen. And God said, which I've called clean, don't call common. And he did it three times. This entire conversation happened three times, almost verbatim, exactly like that. So now Peter gets the idea of what God is trying to say. Remember, Peter's hard-headed. Everybody else gets a message upon the first time, or maybe they get it and they chew on it a little bit. You know, like you go to that certain preacher's church and they tell you something, you go home and you chew on it a little while, and then you kind of figure it out. No, Peter hard-headed. So Peter's got to be told stuff multiple times. And this was one of them. So now Acts 10 and 43. To him give all the prophets witness, though that through his name whosoever believeth him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word, and listen closely, and they of the circumcision, which were Jews, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Until now, only Jews have been getting the Holy Ghost. Okay? Then wait a minute. Now, if they got the Holy Ghost, how did they know that they got the Holy Ghost? Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. I know we've talked about this, but it just bears repeating. Because a lot of people are saying a lot of different things. How do you know you have the Holy Ghost? Because you're speaking in tongues and magnifying God. And again, we're not talking about hook on my side, tie my tie, get a peach pie, put it in the Hyundai. We're not talking about that. We're talking about actual speaking in tongues. And once you've seen it the first time, or once you've experienced it, you instantly know when somebody's faking. So, and that's just out of the book of JJ. So once you experience it and you felt the spirit moving, you can tell when anybody else is faking. All right, so let's move on. So they heard the speaking tongue and magnifies God. Then answered Peter, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And yes, the name singular of the Lord singular is Jesus Christ. Because Peter said in Acts chapter 2, you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. That's what he said in Acts 2 and 38. So he's still going to be baptized in the exact same way. The same way that Jesus told them on the mountain, baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, which is all one name. Not the names, the name. Just thought I'd fit that, because we still have to deal with these false doctrines. So now we're talking about how Peter is astonished. And this actually expands Peter's ministry into a whole new altitude. It opens up a lot of things. Now, Paul is already going around and he's talking to all the Gentiles and stuff like that. And this is where the real Gentile / Jewish church began. It was all supposed to be the Gentiles and the Jews in the same church. I know that doesn't sit right with some people, but this is my Bible here. I don't want to sound crass, but it doesn't really matter what you or I think. Jesus wants one body. Not a finger over here, or not a foot in a different zip code. He wants one body together. Jews and Gentiles. All Jews, all Gentiles. One church. Now, remember, we're talking about how Peter is now deciding, or now having the revelation that he can talk to Gentiles, he can preach to Gentiles. But Paul has already been doing it. Acts 9 and 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel to hear my name before the Gentiles. This is Paul. And the kings and the children of Israel. So again, God wants the children of Israel and the Jew and the world, the Gentile, to be in the same church. And this is what Peter and Paul were most doing. And again, Peter had a little issue in the beginning until that set of scripture we just read. Then now Peter understood exactly why everything sort of came together with the sheep, with the unclean animals on it. All of these things came together to one message. Preach the gospel to every creature. Exactly what Jesus said on the side of that mountain. Peter still didn't get it then. Remember, we talked about how Peter was hard-headed. This is it. This is the embodiment of Peter being hard-headed. Got it, but that's okay though. That's okay. Why is that okay? Because God will continue to tell you something, even if you don't get it the first time, because God loves you. Now, there's a difference between not getting something the first time, and somebody else sent me this question a few weeks back. There's a difference between not getting a message the first time. Otherwise, you would only have church once a year. You could say everything you had to say in one church service, and there would be no sense to that. But it's a difference between not getting something the first time and actually rejecting God. Yes, you can actually reject the word of God, and that's quite different from not hearing it or not understanding it the first time it's said. And, I mean, think about when we go to when we were in school. Just because the teacher wrote an algebraic expression on the board does not mean you got it the first time. Some people have to take a whole class over and over again to get it right. That doesn't mean that, you know, you're rejecting it. It just means you didn't learn it. And Peter had that issue. And some of us have that issue. I have that issue sometimes. Sometimes God tells me to do something and I'll him and haw about it and him and haw about it. God will tell me again, and him and haw about it, and then, you know what, and then God will tell me why he told me to do that, or sometimes God will tell you after you've done it, and then you'll see why you should have done it. So, let's get back to the lesson. So now we're talking about the gospel to the Gentiles with Peter and Paul. Now Paul is speaking on Mars Hill. Now he was really appalled at the idolatry he found in Athens as he went to, and what he found in Athens. There's a lot of temples, a lot of idols, statues, pagan altars. Remember, now we're talking about Athens, Greece. The Greeks were known for a lot of their temples and their gods and things of that nature, and their legends and the things that they worship. But here's the problem. Exodus 24:5 says, "Thou should not make unto thee any graven image," or you should not be making statues out of stone, "or any likeness thereof, anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You should not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." God literally takes the idea of a false god or a graven image that you worship, anything that you worship above him, he literally takes that image. And that might kind of shock a lot of people, because there are some things that we worship that we don't even know that we're worshiping. But God literally takes it as hate, because you hate him so that you have to worship one. And the word worship a different God. And Jesus actually said it. No man can serve two masters, but you must hate one and love the other. So yeah, hate is not an anti-biblical concept. It's what you hate, which you should be concerned about. So yeah, you're not supposed to do that. But Paul found a lot of that in Athens. Berea wasn't that bad. Thessalonica was, though. But it was not as bad as Athens. So he even had conversations, Paul did, on, you know, some of the philosophy, you know, they call them philosophers, over in Athens. And he even preached to the Athenians, who were worshippers of these other religious systems, about the altar with the dedication to these unknown gods. He said in Acts chapter 17:22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." And we're going to cut it right there, because I don't want to open a new subject. Because I did get a question about this a couple months ago, and I knew we were going to get here. However, we have to be very careful of superstitions that we bring into our Christian life. And we're going to probably address that next week, because it is literally, the superstition is literally a kind of a superstition of your relationship with God. Superstition is a superstition. I think that might be next week's topic. But we have to be very careful with that, and Paul had to deal with that. We will talk more about that, about the superstition that they were dealing with back in Athens. But the main subject that we have today is that Peter and Paul already wanted to go and preach, do exactly what Jesus said. He wanted to go and preach the word of God to everybody after his conversion, his enlightenment, after his development, after watching the persecution of the church. He wanted the church to grow more. And Peter was very kind of reserved. He said, "Oh no, this is going to be to the Jews only." And then all of a sudden, because the Gentiles were clean, the Gentiles were this, the Gentiles were that. But then God showed him that the reason why he died on the cross was not to separate anybody by how they were born, who they were born, or what the color of their skin, where they were born, would be more appropriate. He wanted to bring everybody into the same fullness of the gospel, but whoever wanted to. And you actually had to be born again into this new nation, this new Christian nation, that Jesus called this Christian kingdom, the is what Jesus usually referred to it as. And this, God had to have a conversation with Peter. Hey, Peter, if I cleanse you, these people, if they've gotten baptized in my name, don't call them unclean. And just like you, if you've gotten baptized in Jesus' name, you're no longer unclean. You've been cleansed. Now, that doesn't mean just because you took a shower today and you walked out, got your shirt on too, you can't come back and wash off. I'm not saying come back and be baptized again, but this is what the repentance is. The baptism is so that your sins can be remitted. You have to be forgiven. And yes, you've got to. We're going to talk about this. We're going to hold it such as, yes, there is no such thing as those sins listed every day. Live your life above sin, but you still have a way to ask for forgiveness. And so if you have any questions on that, feel free to email me at welcomebiblestudy@gmail.com. Questions, comments, love you all. Thank you all so much for coming and joining us today on today's walk. Man, we may have to extend this to an hour. I love you all so much. God bless you all. See you on the next one.
Yeah. True. See, I do it for Jesus.
Jesus.
Everything I've been doing, give me a reason.
Give me a reason.
I got to spread the
words of a genius.
Everybody needs to know who the leader. See, I do it for Jesus.
Jesus.
Everything I've been doing, give me a reason.